remain standing. Thank God my sins are gone. Amen. Amen. If you want to be turning to the book of Revelation chapter number 1, and while you're turning, I'll mention something about that. My sins are gone, that song. In the book of Zechariah saw a vision. In his vision, he saw the sons of God presenting themselves before God. And Joshua the high priest was there, and the devil was there. Matter of fact, Job saw the angels, or Job didn't see it, but it mentions the sons of God presented themselves before God, and the devil was there. I'm convinced that probably most of the time, if not all the time, when the sons of God come together to present themselves before God, the devil does his best to show up. I'm convinced of that. Amen. But in that showing up, the devil accused Joshua, the high priest, in Zechariah's vision. The devil accused Joshua because his garment was spotted. And the Bible said that the Lord took that spotted garment away from Joshua and put a clean garment upon him, and Joshua served the Lord. It's not the same Joshua, the book of Joshua. This is the high priest in Zechariah's day. But here's a thought that I got from that. When they removed that old spotted coat from Joshua and put that new coat on, Joshua didn't say, "What'd you do with the old coat? Where'd you put my sins?" He said, like that song said, "They're gone and that's good enough for me." Amen. I don't care where they're gone. I'm just glad they're gone. Amen. And I'm glad I've got a robe of righteousness. Amen. That the Lord has given us. Amen. Amen. All right. Revelation chapter number 1. We're going to begin reading verse 17. Read down through the remainder of the chapter. And look at these verses here today in the Word of God. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 17. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Gary Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we're thankful this morning that you took our sins away.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
That you put them away. And Lord, you forgot where you put them.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
No more.
Yes.
What a great blessing that brings to our hearts.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
And oh, Lord, we've been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb, set free from the power of sin. And
yes. Yes.
Thank you, Lord, we come to your house this morning. I pray you'll bless every person that's here. Give us the grace and divine help that we need.
Yes, Lord. Please do.
And give us, Lord, of our sins, for we've killed it so many times. Bless our pastors and preachers.
Help us, Lord.
That in the power and unction that he needs this morning, may our hearts be tender and receptive.
Yes, Lord.
Your word become obedient to it. Save sinners, Lord. Bless and help the children of God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank the Lord for that prayer. Amen. Well, today we're, I guess maybe you might say, finally dealing with the last section of this chapter. And I don't think I'll get done with it today. But we're on the last section. We read these last four verses as we begin looking at this section. I mentioned in my messages here on the book of Revelation, we're calling it the unveiling of Jesus Christ, because this book, the book of Revelation, reveals Christ, I believe, more clearly than any other book in either the Old or the New Testament. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It reveals Him to us. And in this portion that I just read, we see His heart. We don't only see Him high and lifted up, we see His heart as we see what is revealed here in the Scripture. Now, I read Horatius Bonar in his commentary on this section. He said this. I thought it was very, very good. He said it very wisely. He said that Jesus Christ is the revealer and the revealed one. He said He is both the teacher and the lesson. Amen. He said He is the sower and He is the seed. I'd say Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is all in all to the Christian. Amen. He's everything to us, and that's what we're studying. He is the one that reveals, and what He reveals is He reveals Himself. Amen. And that's exactly what we need for Him to do. Now, in the closing verses of this first chapter of the book of Revelation, we see, I believe, a wonderfully picturesque, beautiful view of our Lord. It's a comforting view of the character and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to point out three things and deal with them this morning and then move on and be out of the way. First of all, I want you to notice the tremendous sight. This is John's vision of the glorified Christ. Secondly, we'll look at the trepidation of the saint, the alarm that John felt and is feigning at the sight of the Lord Jesus. And then thirdly, we'll look at the tenderness of the Savior, His response to the feigning of His saint at the sight of the glorified Son of God. So the tremendous sight. Look at verse number 17. John said, "And when I saw Him." Amen. We looked at earlier in these verses preceding how that John heard the voice behind him. And I mentioned, I believe John recognized that voice. He turned to see Him in his heart. He longed to see his Lord one more time. Amen. Every child of God has something down deep inside them that this world grows dimmer and dimmer. Amen. And darker, but our pathway grows brighter and brighter as we head towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a longing, I believe, in our heart that says, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." When you hear the news and you know the way the government's going and you know the way the world's going and it just seems like everything's headed down the wrong way, it causes us to be grateful that this world's not our home, thank God, but we're headed to a better country by the grace of God. Amen. And John, I believe, longed to see the Lord and he turned to see Him. But when he looked at Him, he did not immediately see the Lord, but he saw those seven golden candlesticks. And we talked about what a glorious sight. I believe that was the glorified churches in heaven. And they represented those seven churches of Asia. But Christ as the high priest in the center, He saw those seven churches. He describes that beauty that He saw there. Those seven golden candlesticks. And then His eyes fell on the one He longed to see. And when He saw Him, He gave us His description. The hairs of His head, the flames of His eyes, the feet of brass, the clothing of Him, the sash that He had on, that golden girdle, and on he goes to talk about the beauty of the Lord. He saw Him. Amen. When we come to the house of God, we ought not want to come just to see who's here or what they've got on or who's not here or what they're not wearing. Say amen right there. Amen. But we ought to come to see the Lord Jesus. Amen. I heard a story, Brother Richard Owen. I've heard him tell this story different times, and he repeated this year in his meeting, just sitting around the table, a story about Charles Spurgeon. They said a man came from America, went all the way to England to hear specifically, he was there on a trip, but specifically wanted to hear Spurgeon preach. And he said as he went to the tabernacle on that day to hear him preach, that when he got to the doorkeeper turned him away and said, "We don't have a seat. We don't have any more room. We're not allowed to allow any more in." And he said the man dropped his head. And he said, "I came all the way from America. And my one goal was to hear Charles Spurgeon preach." And said the doorkeeper said to him, he heard him what he said and he went to him. And he stopped him and he said, "Sir, did I hear you right? That you said that you came all this way just to hear my preacher preach?" And the man said, "Yes, sir, I did." And the doorkeeper said, "I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "I've got a seat reserved for me down front." He said, "I'll give you my seat. And I'll stand out here on the street if you'll make me this promise. That when you come out from the service, you'll tell me what you think about my preacher." Amen. And he said he went in and had the service. And as the service, as people's coming out, that man was watching for him. The doorkeeper was watching. And when he saw the man come by, the fellow just walked right by him. And he went down and accosted him on the street, stopped him, and he said, "Sir, we made a bargain." He said, "I told you I'd let you have my seat if you'd tell me what you thought about my preacher." And said the man looked at him sort of amazed and said, Preacher, I didn't see any preacher. All I saw was Jesus." Amen. Amen. I'm saying that's what we ought to see. Amen. We ought to see Jesus. And John had that desire. And by the way, it was a tremendous sight. when he saw him. Think for a minute what John saw. John actually saw with his own two eyes the Lord Jesus, not just in bodily form, but in His glorified form. Amen. John had previously seen Him in His bodily form. He had previously handled Him in His bodily form while He was in His earthly ministry. But now he is beholding the glorified Son of God. Amen. The glorified Christ. In his previous introduction to Christ, his previous knowledge of Christ, he had known Christ as the servant of God. But right here in this scripture, he's seeing Jesus as the high priest of God. Amen. The great high priest of Jehovah God. He could now say, as he said in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. You see, when John had walked with Christ on the earth, he saw God manifest in the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here on this Isle of Patmos, John sees God not just in the body of Jesus, but in His glorified body. Amen. John had seen Jesus hanging on that old rugged cross of Calvary. Amen. He had seen Jesus offering Himself as a supreme sacrifice for sin. But here in this vision, John is beholding Christ not just as the sacrifice, but the priest who is making atonement for our sins. He sees Him not just as the Lamb of God, but he sees Him right here as the high priest that is offering the blood on the holy place. Thank God. I say, what a sight it must have been. Amen. I think about other men in the Bible that got a glimpse of the glorified Christ. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, you know this well. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Isaiah saw the glorified Christ sitting on His throne. Amen. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 24 through 26, he said, and when they went, I heard the noise of their wings. It's talking about the cherubim that Ezekiel saw. I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. There was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above and upon it. Amen. Ezekiel saw a man on the throne in heaven. That man is the man Christ Jesus. Amen. He's the mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus. And Ezekiel saw Him in that glorified image. Amen. Isaiah saw Him sitting on the throne. Ezekiel heard His voice and saw Him as a man above the throne. And this man that Ezekiel saw is the same man that spoke with the voice of the Almighty. So it's none other than the Lord Jesus. Daniel, who was the wisest man in Babylon, saw this same glorified Christ. In Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, he said, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color of to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. So here's the point I'm trying to get. John is now seeing what Isaiah saw. John is now seeing what Ezekiel saw. John is now seeing what Daniel saw. And they just saw it in a brief vision. But John sees Him standing on the earth. Amen. John sees Him right there by His side on that deserted island, if I could say it that way. On that imprisonment island, John sees Him right where He's at with Him there. Amen. I got to thinking about that a little bit. That Roman government expelled John to the Isle of Patmos as a punishment. But Jesus showed up, and it wasn't a punishment. It was a promotion, thank God. Amen. Sometimes the world does things to us to try to punish us, but God can work it around to be a promotion. Amen. Amen. And the Lord showed up, and it was not just a promotion, but He was in the very presence of God. I'm glad when I get in trouble, the Lord shows up to help me in my trouble, thank God. Amen. And He saw the personal presence of the glorified Christ. Now, John had described that image that he saw previously. And I mentioned in other messages that description represented and coalesced perfectly with that Daniel had mentioned in his letters. But I want you to think about the second thing, not just a tremendous sight. John said, when I saw Him, look at the next words in verse 17. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. I fell at His feet as dead. What took the strength out of John? What sucked the life out of John? What caused John to faint? It was the trepidation, the fear of God that moved into John's heart at the presence of God. Amen. I'll say this. I believe that every time, without exception, when the glorified God shows up, men quake in fear. Men are moved in an awe and a majesty of the holiness of God, and mankind cannot raise his hand, and mankind cannot raise his voice. He is totally weakened and faint at the sight of the glorified Christ. I believe that happens every time. I mentioned to you how Isaiah saw Him. Here's what Isaiah said when he saw Christ high and lifted up. He said, Isaiah 6:5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Listen, Isaiah was not a wicked man. Isaiah had not been out cursing and carousing. Amen. He had not been out living in sin. But when he saw the Lord, he was struck with awe, and he was struck with fear, and he said, woe is me. Amen. Here's what Ezekiel said when he saw the Lord. Ezekiel 1:28. He said, when I saw Him, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake. Ezekiel, again, was not a wicked man. Ezekiel was not a sinful man. But when he saw Christ in His glorified image, he fell on his face. Here's Daniel. And you know Daniel was a holy man. Daniel, in my mind, is one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. Daniel had a tremendous testimony. When you think about Daniel, how Daniel loved God and served God all the days of his life from a young man. How that those Babylonians mutilated Daniel and they made a eunuch out of Daniel. And yet Daniel never got angry and Daniel never went into sin. But Daniel just served his Lord all the days of his life. Amen. He never complained. He just kept on serving God and believing God. And God showed Daniel great and mighty things. Amen. And God blessed Daniel. But here's what Daniel said when he saw the personal vision of Christ. In verse 7 of chapter 10, he said, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them. They got to shaking and they didn't even see anything. So that they fled to hide themselves. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. Listen, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Amen. Here's what what Daniel said happened to him. He said, it sapped all my strength. I felt my energy flow from me, and everything I thought that was good about me, I found out was no good. Everything I thought was strong about me, I found out was weakness. Amen. And so he saw that energy flee from him and he fell at his feet, I believe, as John did, as one dead. Amen. Now, let me interject this note right here and say to you, there are those fools that say that when they get an audience with God, they're going to give Him an earful. Amen. And I think I've said it when I was preaching through the book of Malachi. I remember hearing the story about how that some of the members of the rock band Pink Floyd, it was an 80s rock band, had said that they were studying karate so that when they got before God, they was going to give God a bloody nose when they see God. Now, I don't use the word fool too lightly, but those people have told us what they are. Amen. And it takes a fool to believe such a thing as that. Amen. And when they see God in His glory, they're not going to have the strength to lift their voice and give Him an earful. They're not going to have the strength to lift their hand or their fist towards God. They're going to fall on their faces as one dead. Amen. John did, Daniel did, Isaiah did, Ezekiel did, and they will. Amen. Amen. Now, I show you all kinds of scriptures. Matter of fact, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. There was an angel appeared to him in the holy place as he was ministering, and an angel appeared to the side of the altar. And here's what Zacharias did in Luke 1:11-12. It said, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." Amen. Zechariah saw him and fear fell upon him. And that's just an angel of the Lord. And then in Luke 2, when the shepherds on the hillside of Bethlehem were tending to their sheep, by the way, those shepherds had to be ready in case a lion jumped out. Those shepherds had to be brave enough to deal with a lion. Those shepherds had to be brave enough to deal with a bear. Those shepherds had to be brave enough to stay out there in the darkness and the loneliness of the night on the hills of Bethlehem. But when those angels appeared, those shepherds had no bravery, but they were filled with fear. Here's what the Bible said in Luke 2:9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Amen. Are you listening? Now here's what I believe. If the presence of holy angels causes brave men like these Jewish shepherds to fear greatly, if the presence of an angel appeared to a holy man like Zacharias, who was the priest of God ministering in the holy place, if that caused him to tremble and that caused him to fear, then I'm convinced that sinners that would be, for example, in a rock and roll band are going to fear even more and quake even more in their boots. Amen. I got to thinking about it this morning. I remember how Belshazzar did. You remember that? He didn't see the angel of the Lord. He didn't see the glorified body of the Lord. All he saw was the hand of God as it appeared and began to write on the wall. And the Bible said his knees knocked together. And if I could say, I believe he dirtied his diaper, what I believe. Amen. It caused him to lose his strength and to lose his ability and all the control that he thought he had. His knees knocked together and he fell. And by the way, that's what every person will do when they come into the presence of the glorified Jesus Christ. I believe it. John fell. That's what he said. That's the trepidation. John fell at the feet of Jesus as if he was dead. Now some say that even the heathen have an innate fear of coming face to face with God. Amen. Even the heathen have a fear of coming face to face with God. You remember when those Israelites met at Mount Sinai and the cloud came down over the mountain and the lightnings run along the ground there at the mountain and the mountain shaked and the earth trembled and God was coming down to meet with the Jews, with the Israelites, and the Israelites said to Moses, "You go talk to Him. We don't want to talk to Him. We don't want to see Him. We're afraid we won't live." They had an innate fear of coming face to face with Almighty God. There's something inside of man that knows that if God shows up, He's showing up to lay a whipping on the sinner. They know God's showing up in anger to deal with sin. Mankind knows that down deep in their bosom. They know that. Amen. But can I say this? John was not afraid when he was facing Jesus face to face. He was not afraid that Jesus was going to beat him. He was not afraid that Jesus was going to cast him into hell. No, he was not afraid that Jesus was going to rebuke him. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, but he knew that he was the disciple whom the Lord loved. Amen. John knew that he could look at him and see him in love. And yet, in spite of that, fear caused John to fall at his feet as a dead man. You and I don't have to fear to face God. Amen. If we're saved by the grace of God, we don't have to fear to face God. When it comes time to cross a river, we'll be crossing over into glory land. Amen. We'll be facing not just a judge, we'll be facing the righteous judge who has already judged our sin in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't have to fear to face Him, but I'm going to tell you, when we get in His presence, there'll be some fear and trepidation. Now, here's what I got to thinking about this. I don't believe that John had to act with the same fear that these sinners did, and afraid that God was going to kill him. He knew he was a disciple whom Christ loved. But I believe that all of his breath was taken away. All of his strength was decayed because he was filled with overawe at the sight, at the glorious sight of the Lord Jesus. Jesus was so glorious. Jesus was so wonderful. Jesus had such a splendor that it overpowered John, and John fainted at the majestic presence, amen, of the glorified Christ. He fainted away, amen. I got to thinking about this. It's also highly possible and very probable that when John stood beside Jesus, he stood beside perfection in person. He stood beside the glory of God in person. And again, just like with Daniel, everything John thought was good about him, he saw was not good enough. Everything John saw that was strong about him was not strong enough. And so all the weights of not just John's sins, but just his failures, all the weights of John's missteps and John's misspeaking and the different things that John had done, all the weight of that fell on his shoulders, and John recognized that he was undone unless Christ would touch him. Amen. Amen. And I believe that's right. Well, I want you to think about when we stand beside the Lamb of God. We may think we measure up pretty good till we get to God's measuring stick.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You might say, well, I'm better than the fellow on the job I work with. You might be. That don't mean you're good enough to get to heaven. Amen. You might say, well, I'm better than the average church member. I'm better than a lot of churches in the area or wherever. I'm better than this or I'm better than that. I'm better than some I know. You go on. But listen, our measuring stick is not some man. Our measuring stick is not our neighbor. It's not that fellow on the job. It's not our family member. That measuring stick is Jesus Christ. And when we stand beside Him, we'll recognize how far we fall short of the glory of God. Amen. How far? We have a lot of work to do in our own Christian life in order to measure up to Him. Amen. Think about this fact. When John had saw Jesus on the earth, he walked beside Him on the earth step by step. He saw Him face to face. He leaned on His breast. He saw all the wonderful things that Christ did. You know what? He was seeing Christ in grace. But in this Scripture, he's seeing Christ in glory. I'm telling you, it's a whole different ball game when you see Christ in glory. And what great joy there must have been, and yet what great fear there must have been. Amen. What trepidation, what trembling, what terror must have came upon John when he saw the Lord. Amen. Let me give you my last point for today, my thought about it, the tenderness of the Savior. We saw the tremendous sight, the trepidation of the saint. Look at verse 17 again. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. I'm going to stop right there just a moment. I don't have time to preach this point, to be honest with you, to deal with it in its entirety, but just think about this. Here, look at the Scripture. John hears the voice. He turns to see the sight. He's in the Spirit already. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I mean, John, if I could say it this way, John is in spiritual strength. John is in spiritual glory on that Isle of Patmos, and he hears the voice, and he turns to see it. And when he sees it, all his strength is gone. All of his power is gone. And he falls at the feet of Jesus. I don't believe Jesus stood around and waited an hour. I don't believe Jesus messed around and fooled around. I believe immediately when John fell, Jesus reached down and touched him. Amen. I got to thinking about the other night when Sister Stephanie fainted over there from the sugar situation, sugar dropping. And how that she fainted. I remember what got our attention was Brother Josh got to moving. You know why? Because Brother Josh was concerned about her. Amen. He loved her, and his love for her caused him not to want to hurt herself or hurt the baby. Amen. He might have been more concerned about the baby. I don't know what is. I'm just kidding. But here, my point is this. Jesus Christ loves us, And when he sees us falling, he don't wait around to move. He immediately moves and stretches out his hand. And that's what he did right here. We see the heart of the Lord Jesus. He's not happy and rejoicing when sinners go into sin. Oh no, he's moved with compassion towards them. He longs to see them turn to him and call upon him that he can reach out his hand and speak the word of grace to them. Amen. I believe he immediately moved at the fear and the fainting of his beloved disciple. And he reached forth his hand and touched him. That reminds me of a similar incident that John saw while on the Sea of Galilee. You remember that? Jesus came walking on the water. Peter, being what he was, the boatman that he was, spokesman that he was, Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee." The Lord said, "Come." Peter stepped out and started walking on the water. Started out to the Lord. You know the story and how it went in Scripture. He saw the waves dashing and the wind boisterous. Got his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. And you remember what the Bible said? There's a word in there. And immediately, amen, he cried out and he said, "Lord, save me." And immediately Christ reached forth his hand. Again, I'm glad Christ don't say, "All right, stew in it a while. Swallow some water. And puke that mess up and let's see what happens to you. Just go on your way." I'm glad when we get to the place we recognize we're fallen and we call on him, he will immediately move towards us. Amen. Draw nigh to God, and it don't say he'll draw nigh to you sometime. You draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Amen. I believe that. I believe that. Amen. I'm glad Jesus moved at the call of Peter. That's what that song was saying. I was sinking deep in sin. It wasn't just Peter. It's me sinking in that sea. Amen. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, and sinking to rise no more. But you know what happened? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Psalm 34. We'll read some of that, and I'll close with that. Psalm 34, that was verse 6 that I quoted. Look at Psalm 34, we'll read some verses in it, if I can find it. It was in the Old Testament. There it is. Psalm 34. I thank God that Jesus moved when I called. He moved. John didn't even call. John just fainted and the Lord moved to him. Amen. Amen. You say, "I ain't got the answer for that." Well, I don't either, but I'm glad he did it. Amen. I'll just believe it. John 34, verse number 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." I'm not going to boast at my strength. I'm not going to boast at my ability. I'm not going to boast at what I've done. Paul said, "I count all that as dung." Amen. Paul said, "I count all that as nothing." Amen. Or worse, less than nothing, that I might win Christ. All right. "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Here's what he said. "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, take and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Amen. Listen, I was thinking about this morning, Brother Steve got to talking about how he got saved, how God got to dealing with him in that pickup truck. Amen. How the Lord got to dealing with him and the Lord cornered him up. He's talking about some of that. And here's what I thought about it. That's exactly what happened here when John recognized he was fainting. Listen, when Jesus shows up, he can show up in a truck. He can show up in a church. Amen. He can show up on a job. But whenever Jesus shows up, we will recognize that we are undone. Amen. That we have no strength and we have no help and we have no hope. But when we get to that place that we recognize we have nothing, he'll reach out his hand. Thank God he's got the right hand that can help us. Amen. He's got the right word that'll help us. Hallelujah. And here's what he said. He said, "I know this by personal experience. It didn't just happen to Steve. It didn't just happen to Peter. It didn't just happen to John. It happened to me." Amen. This poor man cried. And so he said, "It can happen to you." He said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you don't know that by personal experience, you can know it. You can know it. You might be out there on the radio or you might be in here sitting on a pew. If you don't know the delivering power of the Son of God by experience, you can know it. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll show up. I pray You'll show up in the heart of some sinner. You'll show up in the very presence, whether it's a pickup truck, whether it's on the job, whether it's in a home, or whether it's right here in the house of God. I pray, dear God, You'll show up and let somebody recognize how empty they are, how powerless they are, how helpless they are, how holy and how high, dear God, You are. And Lord, when they recognize their need, You'll reach out to them. I pray, dear God, somebody will call on the Lord while He may be found. Lord, I pray, move in this time. Get the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name, and I want to thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need to come while we sing, you obey the Lord. 337. 337, would you come?